What keeps you up at night? The unknowns of running a business, growing pains, benefit cost increases, whatever's keeping you up, Arion can give you peace of mind when it comes to HR services. Arion helps you navigate the complexities of employment by providing attractive and competitive benefits, handling your payroll, onboarding, compliance, and more. Plus, Arion is local, so you can have face-to-face interaction with your HR experts. Turn business concerns into business success. Visit AURION.com.
The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Earlier today, Jason Roberts gave a presentation to several dozen people at the historical building here in Des Moines. So who is Jason Roberts? Well, he's with Better Block. And what is Better Block? Well, it's a new way of thinking about the infrastructure that we have in rural communities and urban communities and doing something positive with what we have rather than tearing it all out. I asked him, so Jason, what is Better Block?
So Better Block, you know, we started the work looking at the blocks in our neighborhoods that had empty buildings that were these kind of pre-war zero lot line built up to the sidewalk spaces, and looking at those and wondering why are they empty, and also looking at the roadway and noticed we had converted the roads to these one-way streets and sidewalks had been thinned, and getting together with the neighbors and saying, like, why aren't there coffee shops and bookstores, and why aren't people walking on this street? And when we started deconstructing it, we recognized the zoning had changed. We realized that the sidewalks had been thinned over time. Cars were going faster than the neighborhood. And so we did a lot of things basically to make it illegal or cost prohibitive to make the space one that we'd want to be in as a neighborhood. So we created a Better Block to transform the space and said, let's go in and install our own pop-up bookstores and coffee shops and flower shops and put fruit stands out, which were illegal, and put out bike lanes and put out cafe seating and string lights and all the things that you know that you love on great places. And then we basically broke every law we could in a weekend. And then we printed off the laws and rules we're breaking with the city and showed them what we were doing. And they came back and said, this makes far more sense to create places like this. So the Better Block is just this tool to rapidly come together with a community, transform a space, bend kind of all of our rules and regulations for a minute to see what things could be, and then take it down and have a conversation.
So this adventure is happening not only in metropolitan areas, but also in rural areas, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We work in rural contexts. In fact, I'll be in Aberdeen, South Dakota, doing a rural project. We've worked in Milbank, South Dakota. I'll be in Duluth helping kick off projects. So rural and city.
Who's coming to you? Are the cities coming to you? Are the chambers of commerce coming to you? Who starts the conversation with Better Block?
Well, it's a lot of folks. Oftentimes, it's actually just neighbors, residents, who recognize there's something wrong and wanted to bring the community together to fix problems. But cities do come to us as well. Nonprofit groups, we'll have churches reach out. The problem is fairly ubiquitous, what we've created with these environments that just nobody wants to be in. And so they're all recognized as a problem. They just don't know where to start to fix it.
Many communities, and Des Moines happens to be one of those communities, that have taken a look at how to reconfigure streets from existing maybe four-lane streets to two lanes with bike paths and also on-street parking and those types of things. What's usually the pushback that Better Block gets when you start that whole process?
Well, anytime you're going to take away something from the car environment, it's going to frustrate people because we've developed a kind of a reliance on this mode, understandably. But the two maxims that we understood after researching places that people love to be in. We found, A, it's hard to find parking in great places in the world. That's just a maxim you expect. The second thing is traffic flow is poor in great places. Those are two things you know
really?
Every time. But the two things that we try to do as cities or places that what we think will fix a problem is to make parking everywhere and make traffic flow quickly through the area. You can't drive quickly through Central Park. It's not necessarily easy to find a parking space there. When I go to great places in New Orleans, or even the places probably that people love to be here in Des Moines, it's probably hard to find parking there, and you probably can't drive a car very fast. They're the places that people take their wedding photos and that they bring out for their kids to their graduation photos, and we want to be outside with our neighbors. So there is it's counterintuitive, But it's something that we found that if you're going to, we've created an environment that's more amenable to people to drive through right now. And if we're going to replace that environment, we have to make it irresistible for people. We can't just replace it with just kind of nice, like a bike lane here or something like that. What are the invitations that are going to make people want to be
transformative?
Absolutely.
We're talking with Jason Roberts, ladies and gentlemen. He is with Better Block and doing presentations across in central Iowa as well as other places around the United States. What's the genesis of Better Block? Where did this all start from?
So it started in my neighborhood in Oak Cliff outside of Dallas, Texas. We were kind of had a stigma for half a century because we had a few bad folks from our neighborhood. Bonnie and Clyde were from there, and Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, my.
And one of the first projects I took on was trying to fix an old theater, which was the Texas Theater, where Lee Harvey Oswald was captured, actually. Worked on that project and talked to some folks that were trying to fix the theater at the time, and they said, we need millions of dollars to fix it. We didn't have millions of dollars. So I said, well, what happens if we bring our neighbors together? We have 100 people come together, and they'll all maybe make art. And we gave them all canvases. We'll bring them to the theater together to work, and then we'll turn the theater into an instant art gallery overnight. And that brought in 1,000 people, or close to 1,000 people afterwards, that got excited about, like, wow, we can actually get to the theater again. And then other people started seeing the possibilities for the space. And then it slowly got transformed over time, and then people started coming back. And it became a working theater again. And then it's now become an anchor for the block. So that was the initial step. But then I started looking at, like, how do we used to get around in our spaces, and found we used to have an old trolley car system. And so I developed what I was known for, this fake transit authority and this fake transit authority website. And that got a lot of traction. People started getting excited about it. And we actually won a major federal grant and brought back the streetcar system. And that, because I realized, you know, with the Texas Theater, I had 35 parking spaces, but 650 seats. The only reason that worked was because we were a trolley car system serviced our neighborhood. And so, and I knew the only way to make the theater work again was to start tearing down old buildings beside me and make surface parking lots, which would actually kind of kill the goose that laid the golden egg. That's the environment people want to be in. So when you start deconstructing it, it makes it less desirable in the first place. So that was kind of my education into urban planning. I was an IT consultant. I wasn't even an architect or anything like that, but I just started reverse engineering the places I loved around the world. So going to Rome and looking at these 2,000-year-old plazas, I'm like, why is this still working? It's 2,000 years old, but there's still young people here. There's still old people here. There's fountains. There's markets. People are walking dogs. It's full of life. It's alive. What is making this work? And just really reverse engineering those and applying those principles back into my own places at home.
Are we seeing this in other communities as well, where there's conversation about taking one-way streets, and they're all over, the ubiquitous one-way street that is intended, I believe, mm-hmm. to move people as fast as possible out of the center of town and get them out to the suburbs. That seems to be changing, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that conversation now is being had all over the world, really, but definitely in the U.S., where people are starting to see, okay, we developed a model based on getting us around as fast as possible in our cars. Was this the smartest tactic? And really what we're dealing with at the end of the day is just a geometry problem. There's only so much space you can fit cars when you start to centralize. We bring people to a city center. And after a while, you just run out of space for everyone, if everyone's going to be driving there at that point. And the other things that traffic engineering started understanding was that actually if you add more lanes, it doesn't make traffic easier. Actually, traffic will fill up to fit the lanes that exist. So in the beginning, when you widen the street, it'll start to make life a little easier. But then they say that traffic will fill up the lanes rapidly to what you build it into the space. It's called induced demand. So the smarter tactic is to create, more connections. You create smaller roadways, but smaller block segments. So, if you're in a city that's got kind of smaller blocks, you have multiple options to get around if one of the paths is offline to you or is constricted in some way. When we create these large arterials or these large roadways, only when those get cut off, everyone is stymied from getting around.
One of the things that we've heard, and perhaps you can tell us whether or not we're dreaming this, but that multi-lane highways or multi-lane streets have a tendency to be less safe than road diet streets, one lane in one direction, one lane in the other, because people tend to jockey for position.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what they found is, well, The interesting thing is, yeah, fatalities increase whenever you have wide roads. And what happens is psychologically, even if we mark a street to be 30 miles an hour, but we built to be a 6-lane road, it will go. People will go 60 miles an hour, and I'll even catch myself doing this at home. And I'm somebody who loves kind of and pushes the idea of walkability. But if I'm in a car and I feel like I'm unconstricted and I've got these wide paths, I will look down at my speedometer and I realize I'm going 50 without even thinking about it. So that's again, we can engineer our spaces. We know how to make people. If we want people to go 30 miles an hour, an engineer can figure out how to make them go 30 miles an hour by doing bump outs, by bringing in the buildings closer to the roadway, by creating an environment, like creating shelves that people have to drive over, which you see at crosswalks, speed bumps, things like that. So we know how to make a street people drive slower on them. We build them, though, where they're dangerous now, and so that's why you do have the accidents.
Jason, let me ask you a final question about economic development.
Yeah.
One of the things I would suspect that all of this does, as to your piece in, with regard to Dallas, mm-hmm. is that you can bring back a community or take a community that has gotten used to fast highways or multi-lanes or those types of things with a lack of infrastructure or with a lack of economic development, businesses, and can transform that into a really livable destination?
Yeah, so the exciting opportunity that exists, and I will say this, of course, Better Block's a nonprofit, but I am also I have a for-profit coffee shop and restaurant, and I apply my ideas to my business all of the time. And so you'll see the businesses around me that's interesting. They'll say, you know, we always hear people say, we just need more parking, that's going to fix all our problems. And interestingly enough, I have my business in this mix, and I'll take away my parking, but I'll turn it into cafe seating. And people keep saying, well, can't work. So I can show you my books. I'm seeing an exponential increase in my business. More people want to be here. I have other business owners that have turned their areas that could be cafe seating into parking, and they're looking at our business saying, why are they keep getting people going there? I'm like, because we learned this is actually an economic incentive for people to be in this space. They want to be in places that feel more inviting for people. And then you can cluster a lot of small things together. These blocks that we love around the world, our destinations are small. They're this mix of 30 or 40 small little businesses, little bookstores, coffee shops, bike shops, cafes. And whenever you mix those together, you get this interesting like kind of dynamic from small businesses that really activate a space that we need. And those are the places that we love around the world, whether it's in New Orleans or London or Johannesburg, Mexico City, or here, you know, in Des Moines.
Wow. Thank you very much for spending some time with us, Jason. I know that you are traveling around and doing this. You're a firsthand look at so many of these communities that are transitioning. And it's great to hear this because I know that many communities here in Iowa, rural and urban, are struggling with what do we do with the downtown areas mm-hmm. that have, in many places, ceased to exist.
Yeah.
And how do we get people to come back there, make destinations, make it a place where people actually want to go?
Yes.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Hang on. Stay right there. Coming up next, we're going to take a look and see what happened today on Wall Street. That's next on the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us.